Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So I don't know who was watching porn before I got here, but you're going to have to give me a second. I'm not kidding. I don't know what channel it is. I just know she's naked. So, excuse me. I don't need to see that.
Amy, we'll do a little play-by-play for all of you listening at home to After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Amy discovered what happened to be a naked woman on the TV in the studio. We have two TVs, and she promptly changed the channel, which is a benefit to us all. And she has returned.
Okay, I feel better now. A, don't need to see that. B, why in the world was that on my TV at all? And C, how in the world are we allowed to watch porn at work? Scott Farrell, what did you do? Or maybe it was someone else who put the channel on whatever it was. I don't even know what it was. I do know that we have these floating channels with the TV system that we use. I think it's pilfered off the internet because we don't want to pay for it. It's some kind of floating channels where you can in different networks that we don't have access to.
Why
on
don't
a regular
need to be naked?
Basis. Yeah, I have no idea what the hell was that chick doing, but get off my TV. Oh my gosh, that was okay. I'm not flustered. Nope, I've got my marshmallows ready. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I have no idea what Chris said to you while I was over at the TV, but I hope that it wasn't anything about a woman being naked. So we have jet puffed marshmallows, the giant kind. Why? Because it's back. That event that you have asked for and inquired about, we finally have gotten all of our marshmallows in a row, and we're ready to do the second ever Chubby Bunny contest live on the air. So a lot of times we will do videos, or we will share photos with you, and of course they're not happening in the moment. So if someone chokes on a marshmallow, we found out that at least two people in the history of our great country have in fact died doing Chubby Bunny. So not only are we taking our lives in our own hands for your entertainment, but whoever survives is already a winner. We all get trophies. Everybody gets a trophy. I hope this is enough marshmallows. Let's see, how many are in here? We could make s'mores with these. This is a pound of jet puffed marshmallows. And there are, let's see, there are 64 marshmallows in here, roughly, it says. Servings per container, about 16. So we have roughly 64 marshmallows for each of us. So I'm thinking we should be okay, because the most we got to in our first ever Chubby Bunny, which was won by Peter Schwartz. Unfortunately, he is not here to defend his title. And everything has changed except for me and me bringing the marshmallows, I guess. The new winner will probably get somewhere between 8 and 9 marshmallows. Although Dave's been doing a whole lot of trash talking. Do you know how many grams of sugar there are in 4 marshmallows? Just take a wild guess. Wow, that's a lot. Not as many as the carbohydrates, though, in 4 marshmallows. No one wants to guess? 4 little marshmallows. Well, they're big marshmallows, but they're not like...
Let's go with 32.
Oh, gosh, no, thank heavens. 17 grams of sugar in 4 marshmallows. That's a lot. That's like my entire sugar allotment for the week, according to Weight Watchers. Do you know what I did on Wednesday? This is the worst idea ever. Why did I agree? See, I can be cranky with you guys because my mom's not listening. I agreed to join Weight Watchers with her to be supportive and encouraging, and also because she could get a free month if I joined. All right, so if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So I started doing Weight Watchers, and you get a certain number of points per week based on the foods that you eat. That's how you accumulate points. Many of you have done Weight Watchers before, so you know. I'm not doing weigh-ins or anything like that. Weight Watchers has this freestyle app that you use, and you can use the barcode reader to scan foods. It's actually really cool. Maybe I should scan the marshmallows and see how many points these are. That's a great idea. So anyway, My milk, you guys know I drink milk on a regular basis. I probably drink a gallon every 3 or 4 days between my cereal and just my regular meals, but also with my coffee. I had to go without coffee when I woke up on Wednesday because the milk was going to put me over the top. I don't even use sugar in my coffee. I use Truvia instead. And I couldn't have coffee because it was either coffee or dinner, one or the other. And I had a dinner of salad and vegetables and chicken, but the olive oil in my dressing is a point. So that would have put me over the top if I also had coffee. I went without coffee for the sake of Weight Watchers.
No. I'm in a glass case of emotion.
It sucks. Thank you for understanding. Anyway, I'm going to scan. So I have this Weight Watchers barcode reader on this app on my phone, and I'm going to scan for the marshmallows. Now, we're not supposed to be eating the marshmallows, you two. So remember, that's the rule. No eating the marshmallows. But if you want
I'm eating them.
After. You can't do it until we're done with the contest. You are automatically disqualified if you eat the marshmallows or if you choke. Either one of those things and you're out. It's not worth it to choke on marshmallows just for the sake of Chubby Bunny. Let's see. I'm scanning right now. 4 pieces. Only 5 points. I mean, it's not very filling maybe, but only 5 points. So essentially one marshmallow is a single point. That might be my snack moving into the start of a new week in Weight Watchers. I hate Weight Watchers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
It's science.
No, it's actually not science. It's some person with a barcode reader and all kinds of ingredients and the power of God to tell me what I can eat and what I can't eat.
Oh, it's just not good, Amy.
It's not good when I can't have milk. Milk does a body good, and I've never broken a bone, and I'm really healthy, and so why can't I drink my milk? That's the part that's so disconcerting. Thank you for joining us. In order to follow along with Chubby Bunny, now we will have the video after the fact. So it's only audio. We're not going to broadcast it live on Facebook or anything. I hate Facebook. We're not going to broadcast it live on any video streaming service. But you will get the full YouTube video after the fact that you can share with your family and friends and watch over and over and point and laugh. So that's going to be great, but it's going to happen live on the air at 12:40 Pacific time, 3:40 Eastern time, we think, right? Wait, should we do it when we're going up against a hard out at the top of the hour? I don't know if that's a good idea. Maybe, the problem is we have to have someone who will record it for us. So let's see how that goes. Also, somehow in the middle of all of this Chubby Bunny preparations and shenanigans, I have to record a CBS Sports Minute, I guess, with marshmallows in my mouth. That's if I don't gag or choke. So, yes, we're going to do 12:40 a.m. Pacific time, 3:40 a.m. Eastern time, and you can figure it out if you're in one of the other 3 time zones, 4 time zones in the United States. It's going to be a doozy. I know that for sure. So Brian, Chris, Dave, and I will be all lined up like bunnies in a row, ready to show off our skills. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I still can't get over the naked chick. What was that about? I feel like that's a cruel trick. Someone did that to me on purpose so that I would, they try to get me off my game. Nope, it didn't happen. All right, so where should we start? With the fact that Drake is bigger than anything else happening in Toronto? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we'll save Drake because this this is such a funny phenomenon. He's certainly far more famous than I am and certainly has far more support than I do worldwide. So I got to be careful. Got to tread carefully lest someone tell him and the Drake curse comes down hard on me. I don't actually believe in curses, so it wouldn't bother me. But the way that he's creating a stir in the Eastern Conference Finals is sort of funny, definitely amusing. I don't know that the Bucks find it that way. I think Mike Budenholzer has kind of played his hand a little bit here. Maybe this is exactly what the Raptors and Drake want, is to get underneath the skin of the Milwaukee Bucks. from some Uber fan who acts like, he's playing the role of a Mark Cuban, only I don't recall Mark Cuban massaging the shoulders of a head coach in the middle of a game. That I don't remember. If you can find that GIF, that'd be awesome. Put that up on our show account, After Hours CBS. Nick Nurse, the head coach of Toronto, swears he didn't even know. But it seemed like he had an expression, a reaction. Maybe he didn't know what was happening, but he knew someone touched him. So that's getting kind of wonky. But I feel as though the more the Bucks publicly complain about it, or anybody associated with Giannis complains about Drake, the more it's going to happen. Yeah, so keeping in mind, of course, that Drake has all kinds of power on social media, and the whole thing could just go viral in the matter of seconds. So maybe we'll save Drake for a little bit later. Also, Juju Smith-Schuster has been asked about the wide receiver room, sans Antonio Brown. That's really interesting. Michigan has a new head coach to replace John Beilein. And in the wake of John Beilein's introduction, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers has got some interesting remarks about LeBron. Not that they should surprise you at all, but it's kind of funny how cyclical it's been with the owner of the Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, as LeBron has departed and returned and then departed again. And I don't know that his comments were all that different from the comments Kevin Durant made earlier in the year, though maybe KD's comments were slightly more respectful. They weren't interpreted that way, but they were. So we've got all kinds of fun stuff to mix into the show. There were no hockey games. There were no basketball games. So both of our spring, quote unquote, sports were dark. But we'll get excited about the Stanley Cup final with the St. Louis Blues. A unique situation there. I talked about their rags to riches story on last night's show. Well, we're going to spend some time in St. Louis with the pre and post game host on the Blues Radio Network, who's gets the privilege of being at these games and experiencing what the city is experiencing at ice level. And also part of a conversation with the great Brett Hull, Hall of Famer, who really does represent the Blues in so many ways. And so Chris Raby will join us coming up in 25 minutes. Straight ahead, is the NFL considering medicinal marijuana and making that change right away? And also, what does the commissioner of the league have to say about Tyreek Hill and Bob Kraft and potential disciplinary actions taken there? So we've got hockey on the brain. We've got Drake's antics for sure. We've got the commissioner of the NFL and the brilliant moves that the league makes to suck fans in. We are such suckers for the NFL and all of its ploys. We take the bait every single time. OTAs are going on, of course, and so the football's kind of inserted itself into the conversation. And we've got the warm-ups. How exactly are you two warming up for Chubby Bunny, which is only an hour and a half from now? How are you warming up?
No need. I was born a champion.
Even champions do stretching and calisthenics.
No, not me.
Even competitive eaters will do preparations of sorts.
I don't know. Ask Chris, maybe.
Chris?
I had some fruit snacks to kind of get the chewy going, maybe open up the mouth a little bit.
Oh, okay, but so. You're not chewing them.
No, but oh, okay. Still, just to get the facial region ready for the challenge.
Ew. Okay, so just a reminder, if you eat, digest, or choke on marshmallows, you're done. You're out. I will have no sympathy for you if you choke on a marshmallow. These are jet-puffed marshmallows, not to be choked on. You all are adults. Also, can I tell you two funny things on the bag? Number one, Jet Puffed Marshmallows slogan, have fun with your yum. What? No.
Genius.
That might be our hashtag for Chubby Bunny. Have fun with your yum. And then also, in the corner, in little bitty words. I mean, you have to squint to see it. It says a fat-free food. Yes. So even though we're not eating them, I want you to know no fat will be consumed in the production of Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny.
Now that you have to be clear when you say Chubby Bunny. All right. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Coming up, the commissioner of the NFL from Key Biscayne, Florida. And our topic of the night is not actually Chubby Bunny. I teased it last night. We're going to set it up tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. Our fourth show of the work week. We're getting to the holiday weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Good evening. Welcome, everybody. Come on, Philly. Come on. There you go. Marcus Mariota.
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
It's time to have some fun. Thank you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, Roger Goodell, everyone's favorite sports villain. And he gets paid handsomely to take all of your bullets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Did you know 600,000 people attended the 3 days of the NFL draft in Nashville just a month ago? 600,000 people over 3 days. That is by far a record for the NFL. So no doubt the league loves this revolving city idea when it comes to the NFL draft. So here they are handing out the drafts like they are Christmas gifts, like they are bonuses, going to Cleveland in 2021. Because that is the Browns' 75th anniversary as a franchise, and then headed to Kansas City in 2023. Next year's draft in Las Vegas because of the relocation of the Oakland Raiders. So I don't know if there is a league more adept at connecting with events and the emotions of its fans and using every last opportunity to milk not just interest, but TV ratings and money out of its various events. For instance, the NFL Combine, which will stay put in Indianapolis for now, will move many of its drills to late afternoon and evening time slots. They'll be carried live in prime time because that's when fans are more apt to pay attention. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, Roger Goodell and the NFL owners are spending a few days in Key Biscayne, Florida. Now, you know, Miami is the site of next year's Super Bowl, so South Florida. And it's interesting to hear what Roger Goodell had to say. Now, I think you certainly can consider the landscape, the sports landscape in South Florida, and wonder why the Super Bowl is going there. But again, the NFL has such great power, such great earnings power, that this is an opportunity to infuse a ton of money into that market.
I have incredible confidence in this community to raise the bar once again, to not only do a great job with the game and the event and with all the fans that are coming here, but also is a stage to show all the changes that have taken place in South Florida, and to use this as something to demonstrate how wonderful this community actually is.
Never had an NFL team play the Super Bowl in its own stadium. So this could be the opportunity for the Dolphins and new head coach Brian Flores. Roger Goodell, as you can imagine, and the owners probably anticipating that there will be pot for sale in South Florida during Super Bowl week. And he's been asked a lot lately. The owners are considering the use of marijuana, as many states around the country now allow for medicinal marijuana. The NFL is considering whether or not they want to allow that same usage.
It's much broader than that, and it's issues that we've been working on for quite a while, which is there are a lot of alternative pain medications and treatments, and those are the types of things that we want this committee to focus on with medical experts and with medical science behind that.
So there is a possibility that those rules will relax sometime down the road, but it's not happening today. It's not happening for the 2019 season. For now, as we move on quickly from some of these other issues, the NFL will not have any discipline for Patriots owner Bob Kraft. They're waiting to see how his legal and court battle plays out, whether or not the charges are tossed or completely dropped. He's, of course, been charged with alleged prostitution in Jupiter, Florida. You know that whole story. Thank God the video will never be released. But what about Tyreek Hill? Right now, not practicing with the team, not allowed to participate in any team activities, but still is very much a Kansas City Chief.
We are prepared to go ahead and have an interview whenever we have the permission to do so. And then we'll make a determination based on what information we have at that point in time. And so, again, I won't speculate on where we'll go, but we'll certainly get all the information we possibly can as soon as possible.
So for now, Tyreek Hill remains a Chief and, to the best of my knowledge, has not been put on the commissioner's exempt list either. So that could change by the time we get to the season. For now, though, he remains kind of on the shelf and waiting to see what happens with the legal process. Little bit of the pulse of the NFL straight ahead in St. Louis. They still have hearts a-racing over their first Stanley Cup final in nearly 50 years. Going to be really cool to check in with the network host Chris Raby, who will join us. He was there last night as they closed out the Sharks and won the West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Who's going to clear? Bozak lays it in. There's 10 seconds to go in the Western Conference Final. Seven remaining. And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, have done it. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final and face off against the Boston Bruins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The final call of the Western Conference Final is the Blues close out the Sharks. That was Tuesday night with Chris Kerber on the Blues Radio Network, and they promptly pumped Laura Branigan's Gloria all the way through the arena. We are really excited to welcome a guest who was there on scene. And this is one of those cool rags to riches stories, which I absolutely love. So we wanted to talk more about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's welcome Chris Raby, who does pre and post on the Blues Radio Network, before handing off to Chris Kerber. So Chris, what did it mean to this franchise to get back to the Cup Final for the first time in nearly a half century?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, this is a organization that means so much to the city of St. Louis, and you know, it's pretty remarkable that they've been in the league for more than 50 years now. They've only missed the playoffs 9 times, so it's been a team that's been really good and really competitive, but for whatever reason, you know, they've only been to the Stanley Cup Final 3 times, and you know, like you alluded to, it's 49 years since they got there last. Only the 4th time they had been in the conference final really in the modern era. So, you know, it's hard to almost sum up what it means. I think that hockey fans in general, but Blues fans in this city, are so incredibly passionate and have been so galvanized and united almost by the just heartbreaking ways that seasons have ended for really, really good Blues teams. And this was a team this year that had incredible expectations going into the season because of the moves they made over the last summer and some of the trades they made, some of the players they brought in, and things went horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. So, you know, in some ways it's been a rough couple of years for the city of St. Louis. So I think maybe it's almost fitting that this team went from last place, literally the worst team, tied with Ottawa for fewest points in the league on January the 3rd, to now going to the Cup Final. And, you know, I saw fans, generations of fans, alumni, people literally crying last night. And I think that says what it means to the city, to the Blues alumni base, which is pretty incredible. And the players that are on the ice and they're going to be getting things going in Boston on Monday, I think certainly recognize that.
This is a great rags-to-riches story. That's how I was describing it on the air after they clinched the West final. And so the idea of them being in last place and then having to rally to even get to the playoffs is impressive, let alone now winning their third series, this one over the Sharks, in six games. What happened that they had bottomed out in early January?
Well, things just, for whatever reason, went really poorly the first couple of months. And the week before Thanksgiving, they made a coaching change and dismissed Mike Yeo and promoted Craig Berube, who was the associate head coach and who had been the head coach in Chicago of the AHL team. And then on January 7th, after another gut-wrenching loss on the 5th, a Saturday, I still remember it, against the Islanders, Jordan Binnington, who has been in the organization for a number of years but has never really gotten an opportunity, he was up and he got a start. He got his first career NHL start at age 25 on Monday, January 7th in Philadelphia. And they beat the Flyers that night. He, you know, was fantastic and had a shutout. And then he was great again and was great again and was great again. And he's been in the net now for the last 4 months. And, you know, I think it's a unique thing in hockey that a goaltender can singularly change the course of a team. Like, in football, you can have a great quarterback, but you still have to have a good defense, right? In baseball, starting pitcher, Clayton Kershaw can only pitch every 5 days. But in hockey, if you have a goaltender that gets really, really hot, you can go on a run like this. You saw it with Cam Ward when he took Carolina to the Stanley Cup. You saw it a couple of times in recent history, and Jordan Binnington has done that. He's always been a guy who's played very, very well in the minors and at every level of professional hockey, but for whatever reason, just never got an opportunity. And I guess right time, right place, plus him just being fantastic, I really believe that he is the reason this team is here. He's been unbelievable, just has an incredible attitude and is just incredibly calm, almost to the point that it can be frustrating because you don't realize, unless you're around him a lot, that it is just his personality. And he's been remarkable. So that really is the simple answer. It's been Jordan Binnington. The team obviously has played great around him. And here they are getting ready to take on Boston.
Chris Grabe is the pre- and post-game host for the St. Louis Blues radio network, now headed to their first Stanley Cup final since 1970. Have never won Lord Stanley's Cup in their franchise history, so a great opportunity. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In the series against the Sharks, we know the handball, quote-unquote, in Game 3 in overtime that obviously put them in a 2-1 hole, but then they come back, and not only did they win three consecutive games, but they outscore the Sharks 12-2. And you mentioned the Binnington part, of course, limiting the Sharks. They don't take advantage of their opportunities. But what happens with the dozen goals? That offense exploded and really seemed like it dominated and controlled the puck for most of those last three games.
Yeah, they did. And they have been so good 5-on-5. They responded really, really well in Game 4. And I think it all started with kind of the way they decided to approach the way Game 3 ended. They just didn't really comment on it. They said, it is what it is. We got to move on. And we heard some different things from the Sharks when things didn't go their way the next couple of games. And, you know, I think it really was a credit to the Blues that they were able to move on. They went out and they backed it up. And I think you could tell that there was an anger, a determination, a focus to say, all right, that game may have been taken from us, but we are going to take the rest of the series. And they did that. I think also the physical style that they played really started to wear down San Jose. The Sharks came in after playing 2 7-game series. So we saw them start to get a little banged up. That probably contributed to what the Blues were able to do offensively in Game 5 in San Jose. And then last night, just the levee kind of broke. You know, they get 2 goals in the first. The Sharks make it a 2-1 game, and then the Blues really pull away. So I've just been really impressed with their all-around game and, you know, the way they've been able to go about it. The power play had been an issue at times. They finally got that going, scored power play goals now in the last 3 games. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen on Monday, because a new series is a new series. But I really feel like this team, as I reflect on it, they're a better team now than they were a week ago, than they were a month ago, than they were 2 months ago. And, you know, they seem to be peaking kind of at the right time on and off the ice. So it's a group that's really focused. I can't speak to, you know, Boston. I'm sure they have the same focus. But I'm just impressed, Amy, that, like, last night after they won, they enjoyed it for a minute and then said, you know, we realize that we're on to the next task and we realize that there's a lot of work to be done. So, you know, I think sometimes that can get a little cliche, but, you know, I've been around this team a lot and that's the way they've gone about it, because really since January, they've played, you know, kind of a playoff game or a playoff type game almost every night and every single week, because they really haven't had a choice. So they turned the page after game three, which is what they've been so good at doing, good or bad, since the calendar year turned. And I think that was the reason they were able to close this thing out.
All right. One thing I have to ask. It's awesome that the team was able to do this and get back to the Stanley Cup final in its own arena, because that doesn't always happen. So really cool that they could celebrate. I used to listen to Laura Branigan's Gloria nonstop when I was a kid. Had no idea that was the Blues kind of pseudo theme song. What is with that? I love it, but why?
Yeah, so they were actually, it's funny, the night before Jordan Binnington got his first start, the Blues were in Philadelphia. It was Sunday, January 6th, and they were watching the NFL playoffs. And I grew up in Chicago, a huge Bears fan, so it pains me to say this, but I believe it was the Cody Parkey double doink game. And they were in a bar, like seven or eight of the Blues guys were in a bar in Philadelphia. And for whatever reason, they were playing that song in Philly. And when the Eagles won, drunk guys in the bar were yelling, "Play Gloria, play Gloria." And they were playing that song. So the Blues were, you know, having a good time, having a few drinks. And the next night they go and they beat Philly. They finally maybe get a little mojo going and they go into the locker room after the game and somebody yells, "Play Gloria." And they played it. And then they won again and again and again and again. They had a 12-game win streak in February. And that became their locker room anthem, and they play it after every single win. And now it's taken the city over. Actually, our flagship station for the Blues, KMOX here in St. Louis, one of our sister stations, an FM station, every round the Blues have closed out that station. It's called Y98.1 FM in St. Louis. They have played 24 hours straight of Laura Branigan's Gloria.
Stop
so
it.
I think that as we talk right now, and we creep into Thursday morning here in the Central Time Zone, the 24 hours has just passed, but hopefully, I don't know what they'll do if they win the Cup. Maybe it'll be like a week straight of Gloria, but the city loves it. They're playing it at Cardinal games now. I'm literally driving around the city and hearing people blasted it in their cars or on their porches. It's become the anthem of the city, so it's become pretty great. And hey, it's a really legitimately great song.
Oh, it's great. It is. I hope she knows. I hope somehow she found out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been huge on social media, and it's been a pretty incredible phenomenon. So everyone's having a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Chris Raby from the St. Louis Blues Radio Network pre- and post-game with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I was looking at your Twitter, and I saw that there was a link to an interview with hockey great Brett Hull, and you quoted it as perhaps the greatest interview I've ever had the pleasure of being a part of. Why? What did he say?
So that was last night, and you can see, like, the video. He's wearing our headset that is right next to the Blues bench where we have, you know, walk-off interviews with players.
Right.
And this was right after the game, and he was so emotional and talking about what the city of St. Louis means to him and what the Blues mean to him. And he said, if we – and he's got kind of this raspy voice. He's like, if we win the Cup, it's going to be incredible. They're going to change the laws in St. Louis, and the bars aren't going to be closed. And I'm not going to leave any of the bars, and I'm going to be there for a week straight partying. And it's just, it's so authentic, the love that these guys who have played for the Blues have. And it's an incredible community of alumni. And guys like Brett Hull and Keith Tkachuk and Al MacInnis have, you know, stayed in St. Louis and raised their families here and have given back to, you know, the St. Louis hockey scene. St. Louis had, you know, five kids drafted in the first round a couple of years ago in the NHL draft. Like, it's become an incredible hockey hotbed. You know, this guy, Bob Plager, who was one of the first Blues ever in the 60s, in the expansion era, and was then the head coach of the team and has had every role within the team. He's still paces the hallways during the games. He can't even bear to watch. He gets so nervous. And
Aww. And
all of these guys are still around. Wayne Gretzky's around, and Chris Pronger's around. And it's just, I could go on and on, but it's remarkable how much this means to them. And Brett Hull last night, when we talked to him, it was probably 30 minutes after the game ended. He had been in tears down by the dressing room, outside of the room, just because of what this means to him. And to hear that last night and to hear him just talk about the city and really, to go back to your original question, talk about the fans and how happy he is for the fans and how he wishes he could have brought a Stanley Cup when he played in St. Louis on some great Blues teams to the fans, it was remarkable. So, you know, it's more than just the team. And, you know, not only have the Blues only been to the Cup three times, they've never won a game. They've never won a game in the Stanley Cup final. They've been swept all three times. So it's just, it's really bubbling over. And, you know, aside from the fact of imagining being in a bar for 24 hours straight with Brett Hull, which would be pretty legendary, just to hear the emotion in his voice last night and to know that, you know, this organization is perhaps 2 weeks away from doing something that I'm sure a lot of people have never imagined they could actually do. It was pretty incredible. It was a cool night last night.
Awesome. You can find Chris on Twitter at C-H-R-A-B-E. Chris Habe with the Blues Radio Network. Actually, I guess
we're
you
both,
do the Cardinals,
yeah.
Yes. Though right now we're not talking about that other famed St.
Yeah,
Louis
we won't
team.
Do that, yeah.
Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. Great to talk to you.
You got it. Thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.